John almost certainly has been working with the original fall scene in the narrative. And he has wanted us to think about the original fall scene. When Adam sinned first in the garden, death came to all. And remember now, who is the first one whom Satan seduced and brought all this sorrow to? Eve. And who's the first one he appears to? The fall began with a woman. The restoration of all things in Christ in a new garden begins with a woman.
It's always providentially delightful when the passage you're studying corresponds with the holiday it represents, such is the case here, as this message was delivered just this past Easter. We're in John chapter 20. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who returns us to the empty tomb as we focus in on the significance of Jesus showing himself first to Mary. With the details, here's Pastor Chris on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went in the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. And there will end today the reading of God's word. What a day to come together and to consider John's record of the resurrection. What you have in the Gospels are a series of responses to the resurrection and struggles to believe the resurrection, just as much as there is a struggle today for people to believe the resurrection and understand and appreciate the resurrection of Jesus. Think about that great struggle. Even as a pastor, for the longest of time, when I first was in the ministry, I don't felt like I really comprehended the beautiful thing and what the real meaning was of the resurrection for us. Why did Christians believe this so much, and why was it so important? I mean, it's a remarkable claim. Jesus rose from the dead. How many of you have had loved ones who've died and they're in the tomb to this day? Think of this truth. Think of this amazing truth that Jesus is risen. He's risen indeed. But what does it mean, and why is it important? You see, these sort of things the disciples struggled with. The disciples had a hard time accepting and believing themselves. That's what's shown to us in the gospel. The Lord, of course, wasn't quiet about what would happen. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus announced over and over again, "Listen, I'm going to suffer at the hands of sinners. The Son of Man will be delivered up at the hands of sinners. He will be crucified. And don't forget the third article. He will rise on the third day." He said it all the time to his disciples. He kept telling them this. He kept consoling them with that truth. He gave the awful announcement of death, and then he gave the great truth, I'm going to rise. I'm going to rise. And it just went on deaf ears. They didn't really listen to him. They didn't really listen to him. As a matter of fact, we know what they did. They shoved it all aside. You're not going to die is what you're not going to do. We're going to stop that. So the imagery that we have now, Jesus has died. Now that the truth of the resurrection is starting to come out, we're going to see, especially with Peter and the disciples, they're giving up. The death of Jesus and what has happened has caused them to give up. Peter wants to go back to fishing, of all things. I think there's so much you can learn through the struggle of the disciples to believe the resurrection, because it's really your struggle today. This is what I want to help you to see. This is your struggle today. This is not just abstractly theirs who struggled with it and lived it then. This is your struggle right now to all of you who've lost loved ones, to all of you who are in pain, to all of you who are confused. This is your story here, captured. And in the midst of it, the Lord sets this great encouragement before us. I think to have Mary highlighted is meant to be a special moment for all of us in the resurrection, a special moment to teach us a lot about what Jesus is after in the resurrection, to look at Mary and to see her as a wonderful example to us, to teach us of what Jesus wants us to live in now because of the resurrection, how we are to respond to the resurrection. How we are to go forward in the resurrection. You see, if you don't understand this, it can be hard to get up out of bed. It'd be hard to have real motivation in life. Hard to have purpose in life. And the Lord gives us the greatest purpose in life through the resurrection. And we're going to consider this here briefly this morning. Notice here the responses to the announcement of the resurrection. John is working with up front. He's giving us the struggle to believe this. And the challenges and the confusion that is all here right at the beginning. You'll notice in verse 1, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him. You see, John has been showing us the whole time that there's been nothing that anyone could do that was outside of the sovereign power of God. Nobody could take the body of Jesus. If anyone wanted to make that claim later with all these theories that the death really didn't happen and the body was stolen away, nobody had any control outside of the Lord's sovereign will and power through this whole thing. John's been telling us that the whole time. But as we read that she came to the tomb, she saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. It had been really raised from the ground, is what it had been ripped out of its socket, is what John is saying here. And there really is a sense that with the resurrection, there was a bursting out of great power in the resurrection of Jesus. Death could not hold him, we sing. That socket, that big stone that no man could roll away, was removed. And Mary sees this, and she sees that the stone, and there's no body, and she runs to Simon Peter and the disciple, who I hold still classically as John here as he describes himself, and she could hear her cry in this. They've taken away my Lord, our Lord. The body's not there. We don't know where they took his body. Now, if you were to compare this with the other accounts, we see that the other women who had came with Mary Magdalene to the tomb, when Mary saw the stone rolled away, she alone dashed back to the disciples to have some order with the different gospels. And it was at this time here that the angels appeared. But notice, he's not risen. He's not here. He's risen. It seems that Mary Magdalene wasn't there, and she ran away to Peter and John. So it seems that she didn't hear that when the angels came to the women in the other gospel, she's gone. She's out of the picture. She's gone to tell the disciples exactly what had happened, that the body was missing. She then tells Peter and John that Jesus' body was taken out of the tomb, and they hear that, and what we read next is that they leave Mary in the dust, and they break out into a foot race. Peter's obviously the older of the two. I've heard all these pastors over the years make a big point of this. It would be kind of interesting to watch Peter and John run, wouldn't it? Peter obviously was the slower. It would be like me and Dr. Godfrey in a foot race. It would be embarrassing for him. It would not be flattering for him either. I'd leave him in the dust. This is what happens here. John's a young guy. John's going to live to be an old man. Burst out to the tomb. They take off. They go fast. Verse 5, we have John's description of what he sees when he gets to the tomb. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there. But he did not go in. You can just see him. He's frozen. Peter comes, Simon Peter following him, and he, of course, heads right in. That's Peter's personality, isn't it? Heads right into the tomb, sees the linen cloths lying there. They're all folded up. What a moment. By the way, if a body's stolen, you don't fold up cloths. John put that there for a reason. The text says something interesting. Everyone... At verse 8, then the other disciple who had reached the tomb also went in, and this is an interesting moment here in what's included in John. It's confusing a little bit. He first, notice, he saw and believed. But then the next breath it says, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples go back home. Commentators have always wanted to speak positively of this, and they've looked at this, and I can't think positively about it. It doesn't work. They did not yet understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. That's not a good thing. It's never presented as a good thing. Wait a minute. These guys have been walking with Jesus the whole time. They had sat and listened to a lot of sermons. And you're telling me they didn't understand from the scriptures yet that Jesus had to die and rise again. This is presenting something to us about our struggle here. Luke tells us very clearly that it seemed to them like idle tales. So it's not really faith from the scriptures. They see the linen cloths, they marvel, and they remain in wonder over it. The problem with the disciples was captured on the road to Emmaus. You remember when the two were rocking on the road to Emmaus and Jesus comes up beside them. And of course, he had blinded their eyes so that they couldn't see him. And Jesus says to them, what are you discussing on the road? What things are you talking about? Who are you? Have you not heard all these things that have happened in Jerusalem these last days? What things? Well, what they did to Jesus of Nazareth, what they did to him. Tell me about it. He was a mighty prophet indeed, and word before the people, and all of our chief priests and all of the rulers condemned him to death, and they crucified him. They're in pain over this. You know, going through the crucifixion the last weeks, it's interesting, I had a few of you come up to me and say, you know, we're really looking forward to Palm Sunday, because that's the happy event. You're meant to feel the pain of that. What an awful thing that we studied of what humanity did to Jesus. What did he bear? Look at the pain of all of this. This was the disciples. They're lost in that. They're lost in the death. They're lost in the sorrow of it all. They're lost in the pain of all of this. And then as he says, as they're working all of this out, Jesus says, oh, slow to understand all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? No amount of evidence will ever prove this today. No amount of evidence will ever prove it to us, even though we have evidence in terms of a witness from people who saw it. The Gospels through and through say he has to open your understandings to believe this. You have to have your understandings opened. I think that's captured in verse 10, where what we have is all the disciples head back home. Now, how are you going to head home today after this? What are you going to do? What's it going to matter? What about this glorious truth of the resurrection? Does it matter to you? What does it do for you? Or are we back to the same old routine tomorrow of hardly getting up and having purpose? They had here evidence, but it wasn't enough. Jesus had said, even if one rise from the dead, you still wouldn't believe. What is Jesus after? What is Jesus after today? I think that's why Mary is so important. I think that's why Mary becomes the focal point. You know, she gets the great privilege of being the first witness of Jesus after the resurrection. This woman, Mary Magdalene, why? What a choice. Why did Christ give that to her? Why would he want this studied for generations to come? For thousands of years? Well, John puts a spotlight right here on this woman. What a special woman. She's been abandoned by Peter and John. She's already been to the tomb. She won't go back home. You get the sense of, now that this death has happened, I have no purpose. I don't know where to go or what to do. I can't move. How many of you have lost spouses here? You felt this. You felt this. I can't just go back home. I can't. I have no idea how to go forward right now. This is exactly where Mary is. She loved Jesus. He was her Savior. She is in absolute pain here. Everyone's gone. Verse 11. We read that she stood outside the womb, the tomb, weeping. You can picture this. They've all gone home. She has to go stand there. She cannot handle this. She's full of emotion. Just a few days ago, we know from the gospel, she stood at the foot of the cross. She was there watching him die. She heard and saw all of this. Crucify him. Crucify him. She saw the crown of thorns. She saw the beatings. She saw the awful death. I thirst. Mary's thinking, I can't move on. What am I going to do without him? There's something about the presence of the body we all know about. You got to know where the body is, don't you? You got to know. I had that experience with my father. You all have experience with that. I mean, one of the hardest things is when you see, I think somebody from a body from a captain from Vietnam was just found, and they finally brought the body back, and the little son who was, when his dad died, they never found the body, and they had this ceremony, and they brought the son back, and you know what that does for you. It brings some kind of closure. You got to know where that body is. And to watch that body lower down into the grave, and this is why we visit grave sites at times, don't we? Because there's an emotion to that. There's a power to that. You got to know where that body is. The body's not just a shell. We don't believe that about the body. That's what Christianity said. No, we believe something very important about the body we'll get to in a minute. What am I going to do? Can you imagine coming to the tomb of your loved one and a big hole is in the ground and the body's gone? I can't imagine the agony of walking back and the casket's empty. You get a sense of that agony, don't you, here? Here's why I think Mary gets so much attention. This is why I believe the Gospels wanted to focus in on this. Thomas is hard. You know, Thomas, I won't believe unless I see. I know those kind of guys in the ministry. Tough. Tough. Some of you are here right now with that kind of tough spirit. You're a tough guy. Then you got the other guys. Men are just different than women, aren't they? That's not a brilliant statement. It's just the reality. Peter goes back fishing. You get a sense that the guys are just giving up. Her pain overwhelms her. The weight of the cross, the despair, she breaks into tears. The pain is so great in verse 11 that two angels in white appear to her and they ask her the question, woman, why are you weeping? You get the sense that she's just in full weeping condition. She can't even process much. You feel her, how distraught she is. They've taken away my Lord and I don't know where he is. I don't know where they put him. See? I don't know where the body is. Notice that she's struggling and weeping, having the reality cloud everything so that she can't think and process by her tears, her emotions, to the point where she's getting to the point of having no hope. And turning around, we have the most amazing moment in the scriptures. John says she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. I think this is one of the most chilling moments in the Gospels. You know, this is utterly chilling.
Chilling indeed, and we will see why next time we get together. Sort of a cliffhanger today. You'll have to work yourself through the weekend and then join us Monday as we continue our amazing look at John chapter 20, the empty grave, and Mary's first view of Christ as the risen Savior. You're listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who will return in just a moment with a look ahead to our next broadcast. Questions, comments about the program, as always, are more than welcome. We'd love to hear from you. How's the program encouraging you in your walk and relationship with Christ? Reach out to us. Let us know, won't you? Our number is 888-504-8805. Or you can visit us online, agradio.org. Now, that is a great resource to have handy. Not only do we have past programs available online at our website, we also have jumping off points to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as recent articles written by Pastor Chris and other friends of the ministry. Again, agradio.org. We also would like to remind you that you're a very key part of this ministry, Abounding Grace Radio. Through your financial partnership with us and prayerful support, we are able to continue this ministry, not only on this station, but others as well. So would you please consider partnering with us financially, whether it's a one-time gift, a monthly gift, no gift is too small or too large. Reach out to us again at agradio.org or call us at 888-504-8805. As promised now, once again, here's Pastor Chris to look forward to our next broadcast.
What does that question mean after the resurrection? Who are you seeking? We're not seeking a dead Jesus. You see, we're not seeking a Jesus in the tomb. We're not seeking a crucifix with Jesus still hanging on it. We're seeking a resurrected Jesus, one full of victory and power, one who's answered us and given us, as Psalm 18 says, salvation. Give us success today, Lord. That's what this is about. When Jesus came here in AD 30, the month of Nisan, and died a cruel death so that you might be forgiven, he wants you to know he's no longer on that cross. He's risen. He beat it. And your sins have been dealt with. And God loves you. And God's not going to let you go. She goes back and tells the sons of Adam Death's been defeated. Death has been defeated.
The death of death and the death of Christ. We have more Monday. Have a marvelous weekend. Be found in the Lord's house this Lord's Day, and we'll see you Monday again. John chapter 20 and the empty tomb here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.